I want to share this with you guys tonight as an encouragement. And this may apply to you. It may not apply to you right now, but it will apply to you sooner or later. I mean, no, some of us are about to go into the fire. Some of us are in the fire, and some of us are coming out of the fire. Anybody relate? Amen. We're going through some things. We're experiencing some things in our lives. But I want you to hear this. If you don't hear anything else tonight, think it not strange. Think it not strange. 1 Peter 4:12, King James Version. I'm probably going to go kind of fast, so y'all just hold on. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's the King James. Listen to it in the Amplified. Verse 11 of chapter 4, 1 Peter in the Amplified says this, "Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ the Messiah. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. So be it." Verse 12, "Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you or your position were befalling you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice so that when his glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph exultantly." Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now, Father, that this word, simple as it is, Lord God, I thank you that it's a practical word, God, but it's powerful. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that we get this in our spirits, God, to help us understand, God, that you're taking us someplace, God, that you're causing us to become someone in you, God. It's found in you, in Christ, Lord God. Help us to understand that this word, God, is going to help us get through the tough times when we don't understand what's going on or we don't know which way to look, Father. Help us understand what's going on, Father. Help us to think it not strange. If you receive it tonight, say amen. Amen. Listen to what the first part says in verse 11. It says, "Whoever speaks, let him be as one who utters as the oracles of God." When we're going through tests and trials, amen, how many know we've got a voice and there's some things we need to be speaking in that situation? Amen? And when we begin to speak into that situation, we got to speak as the oracles of God. And we did a thing in here not too long ago about the oracles of God, you know, and the oracle of God was a word in the Hebrew that was used for the most holy place in the tabernacle of Moses, beyond the veil, is what they called it. They called that the oracle, or the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of God was. It was the oracle. So when we speak in our situations that we're going through, in our fiery trial, amen, I mean, no, we need to be speaking out of a posture of being in the holy place. But most of the time, when we're going through, I mean, no, we ain't speaking from the holy place. We're speaking, "My God, what's going on? Did I do something wrong?" Amen. Did my wife do something wrong? Somebody in my family got sin in the camp. Amen. She's pointing at you. That's what we do. We point at somebody. Something's wrong for me to be going through all this hell that I'm going through right now. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time we don't speak as the oracles of God. But the key in that is to understand we need to speak from a posture of being in the holy place. Amen. Sitting on the mercy seat. In other words, sitting in a posture, seeing things from God's perspective. Amen? Now hold on. The word oracle in the Hebrew, it means to speak. Words, utterance, declare, converse, command. It means to promise. Sometimes it means to sing. I mean, no, when you're going through some stuff, you might just need to start singing your song. Sister Robbie. You know, and it don't matter if you can carry a tune in a bucket, Brother Charles. You got a song and can't nobody sing. Say amen, Sister Nancy. Amen. Sometimes you got to sing in that situation. It means to speak with one another. It also used as the word for the Holy of Holies, like I said, in Solomon's temple, the innermost room. It's the hindmost chamber of the tabernacle. The word oracles in the Greek, hear this, It means words or utterances of God, skilled in speech. Hear that. Sometimes we got to, whoever speaks, let them speak skillfully. Why? Because we got to believe this. Our words are powerful. Our words are very powerful. We can rip somebody's reputation to shreds just by words. My name, whether it's true or not, just saying it can rip somebody's livelihood to shreds, their reputation, and tear them down. We can actually kill with our words. Amen? And I'm going to be a little transparent. I've always been heavy growing up. Okay? Do something to him, okay? And all my life, growing up, I got the nicknames, Fat Boy and Big Boy and all that sort of thing. I hated it. It killed me. Those words killed me. And I had cousins, that would say things like that. And, and they were always skinny. They ain't never, most of the time, people that say stuff like that, they ain't never been fat, okay? That's what I always say. But those words, in my childhood, I couldn't, and when I got in my adulthood, I couldn't stand it. I can't stand it. And I don't call, anybody like that unless, now hear me, unless it's somebody just real close friend or whatever, and we're just cutting up, what I'm saying? But I mean, as far as trying to, just to put somebody down, where I'll be above and there, but I don't do it. I don't do it because I know how powerful those words were, and they may not have been trying to kill me, but they didn't realize the power in the words. Look at your neighbor and say, it's practical, but it's powerful. What? Our words. It's a practical understanding. Y'all have heard me say this a number of times in the house, that God is not spooky in his dealings with us. Okay? He's actually very practical when he deals with us. And he'll cause things to operate in our life that go against the natural flow of things according to nature. That's why he's supernatural. He supersedes the natural order of things that flow in our life. Amen? I didn't say he's super spooky. A lot of people, when you start talking about supernatural, they get spooky on you, But God is very practical with us, and the practical things that he deals with us in is very powerful. You're going to hear that a lot. It's practical, but it's powerful. So this word, oracles, in the Greek, it means skilled in speech, eloquent. It references back to a word, the logos, we've heard that before, which means a word uttered by a living voice. How many know when you're going through stuff, you don't feel too alive sometimes? Amen? You feel like, oh my Lord, death is all around me. What am I going to do in this place, But when we begin to speak as the oracles of God, whoever speaks while you're going through the fiery trial, amen. You need to speak as the oracles of God. In other words, you got to flow from a living voice. Amen. Because God's made you alive, alive, forevermore, alive. Amen. In Christ. That's who we are. And we begin to speak to ourselves. It's what someone has said is what this word means. It's what is declared. What's been declared over you. Amen. I'm talking about by the word of God. What's the words of prophecy over your life? You need to start speaking those things. I'm talking about when you're going through. I'm talking about when even when you mess up and make mistakes, our own words begin to beat our own self up with them. Well, you stupid idiot. Why'd you do that? But what we got to do is change our tone instead of talking down and condemning ourselves. How many know we don't need nobody else to condemn us? Our heart does a very good job of it when we mess up. Amen. And we get into an area that we know we don't need to be there, but we find ourselves there anyway. What we got to begin to do is speak to our situation with living words and make declaration over us. And the declaration is this: you know what? Yeah, I may have did this and I may have done that, but my declaration is this: that ain't who I am. Instead of beating myself up, I'm going to say, wait, what's wrong with you, Barry? That ain't who you are. Why are you in that place? You're a man of God. That's who you are. You're a prophet to the nations. You're this, you're that. And you begin to declare over yourself as the oracles of God, a living word. Amen. When you're in the midst of your trial and everything, that's good stuff. This word also means a collection of thoughts, and what's God thought about us? We got to know that. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people think thoughts of God toward us is, we're just worms And he's just waiting for us to mess up, sis, so he can hit us in the head with his big old cane and put us down and crunch us down under his thumb a little bit, because I know what he thinks of me. You know? Let me know that ain't what God thinks of us. And this word oracles means a collection of thoughts. We got to begin to speak to ourselves the thoughts of God that's over our life and our situation. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. I'm helping myself. Amen. These are gathered together. These thoughts have been gathered together in the mind, and they are expressed. We got to become the expression of God in the earth when we're going through our situation. You know, why? Because that's what God's trying to do in us. How many know He's trying to build something in us? I'm not saying God puts all these bad things. You know, bad things happen to people. Bad things happen to good people. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that all the bad things that happen to good people is something that God is doing. But the fact remains that they happen. You know? And we got to look at the other side of that thing, and instead of trying to blame somebody for this thing happening, well, it was a devil. Well, it was God. Well, it was me. You know, we start trying to blame people. We need to start trying to find out, what is the purpose in this thing? What's it doing in me? Am I going to stop serving God because of this? Am I going to cuss my wife out because of this? Am I going to quit my job because of, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm going through something? See, God is using those things. He didn't promise that He would take the storms of life out of our life when we come to Him. But He did promise He would go with us through those things and be right there and never leave us nor forsake us. And that's the key that we got to understand, churches, when we're going through the fiery trials. We need to think it not strange, these things that are happening to us. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I got to go there, so I'm just going to go there. We need to think it not strange, because this is what happens a lot of times. When we get into those situations, we start thinking too much. Amen. We start thinking. Let me share something with you. Look at 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. I'm jumping ahead here, but that's all right. The same passage of Scripture, but look at verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not be amazed or bewildered at the fiery ordeal." A lot of times when we're going through stuff, we're amazed and bewildered. Sister April, like, what's going on? I'm serving God. I'm doing this. And I'm, you know, we get amazed and bewildered at this fiery trial that's sent, which is taking place. Hear this. It's taking place to test your quality. In other words, you're going through that thing. Instead of being bewildered and amazed and trying to figure out why it's going on. If I suck that down my throat, y'all just help me, okay? We need to understand that the reason these things are going on is just a test to see what kind of quality I am. T.D. Jakes said it like this, and I've used this a lot of times. He said, you never know you got faith until you've been in a good fight. In other words, you never know what you're made of until you've done been through something. And I believe that some folks in here tonight have been through some stuff and can testify a little bit about the goodness of God and what He's brought you from. There's folks in this building tonight that God has delivered them from death. Amen? Amen. They can talk about what it means to hear that word spoke over your life, Sister Nancy, and said, you know, it's bad, it's over, you might as well give up because it's done now. You got that cancer. Amen? And we hear those words in our lives, what we're going to do when that trial comes? What's it coming for? Because Nancy was such a bad woman and she sinned, you know, that's probably why that thing came on her anyway. No, it came because it's a test of her quality. What's she going to do when she gets that kind of word? She going to give up on God? Amen. No. We're going to find out what kind of quality of person she is. Why? Because you don't know what kind of faith you got until you've been in a good fight. You know, we spout out things a lot about how we believe God, we trust God. Oh, yes, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And then let a good trial come. Folks quit going to church, get mad at God, break up with God because something's going wrong in their life. Amen. We do it in our marriages. We do it in our relationships. You know, things ain't going, the honeymoon gets over with, and we start saying, well, what's up with this? I didn't know she looked like that, Nikki, you know, in the morning times. I guess I'll just get me another. You see what I'm saying? We do the same thing with God. Well, God, why are you letting all this bad stuff happen to me, God? You know, because the trick of the enemy is that. He wants to put all the focus on God. See there what God's doing for you? That's what happened when you served God. Y'all ever heard that voice? He sounds just like that to me. That's what happened when you serve God, Jesus, and all his kin. See what it gets you? Yeah. Give him all your money. Give him all your money and look here, you're getting your lights cut off. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Think it not strange. Look at your neighbor and say it's practical, but it's powerful. So verse 12 there. Amazement and bewilderment will always try to overtake us when we're in the midst of the test. It'll try to distract us. The test comes, and immediately amazement and bewilderment tries to overtake us in the midst of that thing. The challenges of life that we encounter in our walk with Him are taking place to test our quality. Hear this. The deception of the enemy would try to entangle us in the thoughts of our minds to think that something is wrong with us. Fiery test comes, fiery trial comes. The deception of the enemy would come against the thoughts of our minds saying something's wrong with us, or we have made a mistake. Made a mistake or something. I mean, because this bad stuff's going on. And this is why this unusual and alien trial is happening to me. Because either I've done something wrong or I've made a mistake. And then we feel that we personally and or our position is threatened. You know, oh my God, I'm supposed to be a man of faith, Brother Charles. I'm a pastor of a church. And I'm dealing with this situation in my life, you know, and it's bothering the crap out of me. Okay? My wife had to go to the emergency room, and I believe in healing and faith. You hear what I'm saying? What's people going to say about that? Or my children, you know, they're not serving God the way I am. What kind of parent am I? We start looking at the reasons why these things happen. I must have done something wrong because of this thing that I'm dealing with in my life. Anybody relate? Anybody relate? We feel that we personally and our position is threatened. We seem to have failed is what we feel like. I failed. Somewhere I failed. But look at your neighbor and say this. Think it not strange. Think it not strange. See, we need to understand that when we share in Christ's sufferings, we should rejoice. Hear that. You don't hear that a lot when you're going through something. You need what you need to do, Sister Lydia, when you're going through your go-throughs, is you need to rejoice. And people is like, rejoice? My leg broke. My back hurts. You know, I'm stove up in the bed. You want me to rejoice? You know, I'm not saying rejoice because your back's broke and your leg's hurting. I'm saying you need to rejoice in that you're going through this thing because God is going to see whether or not he's put in you what he thinks he has. Because, see, you know, you got to know this. God knows what he's put in you, Abel. He knows the thoughts and the plans that he has towards you. They're thoughts of peace and not evil. He has an expected end. He wants to give you hope in your future. He has a destiny for your life. But in order for us to get to the destiny that God has for us, how many know we got to go through the purposes? The purpose is the things that we go through and deal with before we get to the destiny. King David, I'm getting ahead of myself. Y'all hear some of this Sunday. King David was anointed when he was a kid king. He was out there tending sheep. Okay? And his destiny was to be king. But how many know when Samuel, the prophet, prophesied over here and anointed him as king, how many know he didn't take the throne right then? He was destined to be king. That was his destiny, to be king of Israel. Okay? But how many know he had to walk out the purposes of God? You know, he had to go out there in the field and learn what it was to sing psalms to God on his job. You know, all the time knowing, you know what, I'm king. But here I am, watching these sheep crap all over the place. I think I'll play me a song. And he began to worship God. And y'all heard me say this, but some of the greatest psalms that we read, they say that's when David was out there tending the sheep, some of the greatest ones that he wrote, when it was he was doing his job. Amen. When he was putting in cable for somebody, Brother Nicky, God would give him a revelation. God would give him such a revelation, Sister Lydia, that it would motivate him to write a song. Oh, my God. He was communing with God right there in his job. We need to hear that. See, that ministers to me, because I was one of those, let me just testify a little bit. I was one of those that knew the destiny of God in my life early on when I began my walk with Christ. I knew I was called prophetically into ministry. I knew I had a music gift. I knew I would pastor a church. I knew I would be full-time ministry. And this was 20-something years ago, and I'm not saying you got to wait. I'm not trying to put a time frame on our destiny and everything. But for me, that was 20-something years ago, 22 years ago, that I knew this, okay? And so every job, and a lot of y'all know me. We're pretty close in here now because we're small right now. I've had a bunch of jobs. Lady J can name just about every one of them. She's numbered them. It's up there getting close to 20 different jobs in my lifetime. And I've had this many jobs, pretty much since I first started serving the Lord. Because I knew, Brother Charles, there was a call on my life. So every job I had, now hear what I'm saying. I want to say this. I'm trying to help myself a little bit. I'm trying to build me up a little bit. So y'all just hear that. That's what I'm doing right now. At least I had a job. Okay, I wasn't a bum, and I was not working. I was trying to take care of my family. I always had a job. So when people tell me it ain't no jobs, I'm thinking, you find a job. It might not be a $1 million a week job like you want to get. You can flip burgers at McDonald's. You can get a job. I know it ain't fun. And when I first moved to Lexington, and all that ordeal that I went through, one of those trials that I went through, and I was trying to figure out, God, have I done something wrong? And this very thing I'm telling you right now. When I moved up there, I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have a job. I didn't have nothing. Didn't have no wife, no kids. They had all that happened, went through divorce and all that. Y'all know my story and everything. Went up there, didn't have nothing. Folks took me in, had an extra room, said I could stay there till I got a job. I went and got me a job. I bet it wasn't 2 days, Brother Charles, I got me a job. Was it a job I liked? No. I was selling beer and cigarettes. I worked at a convenience store, Amoco Station in Lexington, Tennessee. I sold tanning visits, too. They had tanning bins in the back. But mostly they had a drive-thru window. Most time, that's all people wanted, either beer, cigarettes, or potato chips, something like that. You know, that's basically what it was. 10 o'clock at night till the morning time. It's like third shift. You know, they was open all night. Sitting up there in that place looking for my destiny in Jesus. Oh, there's a song in that. I probably could write a country hit out of that. Well, God, we could build a big church. Oh. But how many know in the midst of all those things, David knew his destiny. He's going to be king, but how many know he had to go through some things before he got there? And that's called the purpose of God. And you and I, in our pursuit of the destiny of God, has got to understand, you know what? There's the purpose of God. That's the walking out. Until we get to that destiny. The destiny is where we're getting to. That's where we're going. But until we get there, I mean, we got to flow in the purpose of God. What's the purpose of God? The purpose of God is for us to be faithful in the test. Still love Jesus, no matter how bad the test seems, the trial seems. Still be faithful to God. Still be faithful to the church. Still be faithful to our spouses. Amen? Still be faithful to our community. Still be faithful. You know, hang in there. You know, still smile. Even if you had to put on a fake smile sometimes, you know. But we put forth effort. We don't walk by sight. Amen? We walk by faith. It's what we do. So we got to understand, when we share in Christ's sufferings, we should rejoice. Why? Why should we rejoice? Not that I'm, you know, got bad stuff happening. I'm not rejoicing. Praise God, my leg's broke. Hallelujah. No, my leg, but I'm saying rejoice in this test that I'm going through. I'm going to find place to give God some praise anyway. No matter if my leg is hurt. I rejoice, why? Because His glory, hear this, is about to be revealed, that we may also rejoice with triumph. Amen. James 1, 2, and 4 says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her," somebody say, "perfect work." Perfect work. "That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Oh, my God. You mean to tell me when I'm going through something, if I would just count it all joy and rejoice in the Lord anyway, you know, whether I had a flat tire, you know, on the way to church, I need to rejoice anyway. Whether or not my radiator blows up before I come to preach at the house of God, you know, yes, 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 we got to count it all joy. Why? Because the trying of my faith is going to work patience in me. And when patience has her perfect work, guess what? I'm going to be entire, perfect, and I'm going to want nothing. He's going to supply my need according to his riches in glory. Amen. Romans 5, 1 and 3 says, "Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have..." Let me back up a little bit. How many like a good sandwich every once in a while? Amen. What kind of sandwich you like, brother? You like me. Somebody say, "Sandwich, what you want it?" I just want it. That's what I say. What do you like? I like it. Just slap it on some bread, mayonnaise, come on, tomato, pickles, lettuce. Amen. Lettuce. You got to have lettuce on a good sandwich. So let me back up a little bit in this scripture here. Verse 1. "Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us..." We got to put some lettuce on it sometime. "Let us..." Makes your sandwich taste better. "Let us grasp the fact..." Come on, how many know there's a lot of lettuce in the Bible? You go through scripture or something, you're going to see a lot of those. "Let us..." If the Bible says "let us," in other words, he's saying, you know what? You got the power to get yourself through this thing. Man of God, woman of God. Amen. So every time you see some lettuce, know God's fixing to give you a good sandwich to eat. Amen. "Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also we have our access or entrance or introduction by faith into the grace or the state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us..." "Rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God." When you're going through your test, hear this. You got to have an expectancy in your heart that you're going to experience and enjoy, come on, the glory of God. That's why you're going through. God wants to see that quality, character trait come out of you. What? The glory of God. Amen. Well, I tell you what, that Sister Nancy Connell, I know she's going through. I know her. I work with her. I've been with her. I'm related to her. She's my sister. She's my cousin. She's my daughter. Now, I know she's, you know, I know some things that's going on in her life that don't nobody else know about. But you know what? She's got an expectancy in her that she's going to experience the glory of God in this thing. She's still giving God praise. She's still rejoicing in his name. She's still gathering with the saints. She's still on top and not beneath. Come on, somebody. She's still rejoicing in him. What's up with that? What's up with that? It's showing forth the quality. She's going through a test. She'll tell you herself, "I'm going through something." Amen. But you know what? I ain't giving up. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord put it on my heart, Sister April. I've been waiting for you to come back to church so I can just testify a little bit. But the Spirit of the Lord put it on my heart to release the dance in this house. Me and my big self. So last Sunday, y'all saw me beating my little drum, and I'm trying to, but I'm fixing, there's a dance inside of me. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to release it. Amen. I don't care how stupid or funny it looks. You know, if it looks funny, bless God, folks, need to laugh. Hallelujah. Because laughter works good like a medicine. I just say, take your medicine. Come on, take your medicine. But I'm going to dance, and I got this tribal warfare dance in me, and it's going to come out. I just got it. I'm trying to drop some more of these pounds off so I can really won't get out of breath. Oh, my God. But I got to release that thing. I got to release that thing. Why? Because there's a glory to be revealed in that. And I believe it. I believe it. So I got to release it. Through him also we have access, we have interest, we have introduction by faith into his grace. Let us rejoice and exult in our hope and experiencing, enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, verse 3, moreover, let us also be full of joy tomorrow in the morning, next week. Now, let us be full of joy now, right now, right in the midst of the fiery trial, amen? Hebrew children, three Hebrew boys got thrown in the fiery furnace, amen? They said, you know what, we believe God can deliver us, but if he don't, we're still going to praise him. And right in the midst of that blazing inferno, how many know they began to praise him anyway, and the bands and the ropes that they had on them just fell off of them, not even the smell of smoke to come out the other side. And when the man, the king looked in there, he said, I see four men walking around in the fire. Amen? Amen. And he looks like the Son of God. How many know Jesus was right there with them, walked right through the midst of the fire, and they came out on the other side not smelling like smoke. Amen. Why? Because they said, let us rejoice and praise him anyway. Right in the midst of our fiery trial. Think it not strange when you're going through some stuff. Amen. Ah, let us be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the tribulation or pressure and affliction and hardship produce. Listen to that. These things we go through, church, they produce something in us. Amen. There's a product that comes from that, Brother Nikki. When I'm going through hardship and affliction and troubles in my life and pressure, it produces, hear what it produces, patient and unswerving endurance. Jesus said this, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. Not he just that endures just a little while. Well, I tried that Jesus stuff, you know, Sister Robbie, and it didn't work for me, you know. I mean, no, he didn't endure very long. You got to endure to the end. How far is your end? I don't know. I don't know how far your end is. Now, stay with me now. Stay with me now. I didn't say rear end. Okay. Lord. I don't know. I ain't going there. But we got to endure till the end. These things produce unswerving endurance in us. The things that chew at us. Hear that? This word tribulation, when you look it up in the original translation, one of the words that comes from it means to chew. These things that chew at us. You ever had anything just chew at you? Oh my God, that's just eating me alive. I can't stand it. Gnawing on me. It's those things that we're going through, that, you know, it's just gnawing us. The things that chew at us, those things that, another word, this the word tribulation, it means to rub. You ever been to rub the wrong way? Rubbing me the wrong way. You get around certain people. I'm being transparent again. There's certain people I get around, and I love them, and they you know, I'm a close type person, okay? I hug a lot, Sister Nancy. I don't know if you know that. but I am. You know, I am. But I try to be careful, and I've actually said this to some of the folks, and I don't know if I've ever said it to you. I said it. I know some of these other folks in here. I said, listen, if I seem like I'm hugging you too much, just tell me if I'm too much in your space. That's just the way I am. You know, I've always been like, my family's like that and everything, so I just grew up like that. But, you know, there's some people, you know, that get to you, and they get in your space. You know what I'm saying? Some people, there's levels of space. Y'all know that? Some people get a little closer than others. Some people is like, okay, your space is over there. At that other church. You know what I'm saying? But when people like that that I know, they get in my space, oh, they just rub me the wrong way. And I'm thinking, and I've really started doing this. I'm trying to help you. I really am. And when they get in my space, Sister April, I just sit there and in my spirit, I'm going, okay, God, they really rubbing me. What's this doing in me? I know it's working something in me that needs to, it's surfacing things in me that need to be drawn off of me right now. These impurities and these things, God, help me. Help me, because how many know I don't want to be like that? You know, Christ would have embraced that person. Hear that? You know, he would have looked at what he had put in that person, you know, and all I'm seeing is stuff on the outside. Just being real, but they rub us. Those things that rub us, those are tribulations. Those are tests for us to see what kind of quality of person we are. Watch it. Oh, another word. It's pressure. It's tribulation. It goes back and references back to a word pressing, like pressing grapes to get wine from. That type of pressure. So hear that. It produced something. This pressure and tribulation produces things in us. Just like fine wine is produced by pressing grapes. Pressure and affliction and hardship, they produce this unswerving endurance in us. Now look at your neighbor one more time and say, it's practical, but it's powerful. It's practical, but it's powerful. Romans 5, verses 4. And I'm going to close here, I think. I skipped a bunch of my notes. I really did. And I don't know what time it is. I'm scared to ask. Okay. What's that? Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. You squeeze somebody and you'll see what comes out of them. Amen? I'm going to go on something else. I started to say something there. Look at verse 4, chapter 5 of Romans. And endurance. Listen to this. This pressure and affliction and hardship that produce an unswerving endurance. Verse 4 says, and endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character. This endurance that's being squeezed out of us is producing fortitude. It develops a maturity of character. Hear that. Approved faith and tried integrity. You know what integrity is? It's doing what's right when nobody's looking. I love that definition. You know, doing what's right even when nobody's looking, that's integrity. So this thing, this mature character that's developed in us through this fortitude of endurance, it's faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort, hear this, produces the habit. Hear that. This kind of character produces a habit in our life. A habit of what? Joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Amen? It produces confident hope inside of us. But you know what, Sister April? I can be better. Amen? There's some things that's been spoken over my life personally. You know, that, well, he's just terrible in that. He's terrible in that. He can't do that very well. You know, you probably have things like that that people say about that. You know that? Brother Charles, you know, he's good at this over here, but this over here, he really stinks at it. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard anything like that, somebody say things like that over your life. You know, she can do that, but she can't do it. Boy, she is terrible at that. Okay? You know, but Robbie, I love you. I'm going to pick on you right now. I know. That's why I said that. But I've heard you talk about, you know, I want to sing, and everybody's made fun about it, how you can't sing and all that sort of thing. I'm not negating whether you can sing or not, but I know this about Robbie, okay? She's a worshiper, okay? She's a worshiper. And even though people may say, you know what, you can't sing very well, that don't stop her from worshiping God. Anyway, amen? And so her confession is this, you know what? When people say that, and I've heard her say it, I sing to the Lord. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And he don't care what it sounds like, as long as it's coming from me is worship unto him. Amen. And so what we got to do with ourselves is the same way. Those things that's been spoken over us, instead of us getting in agreement with them and saying, yeah, that's right, I'm terrible at that. I'm bad at that. I can't do it. Instead of doing that, we got to start changing our language, amen, and begin to speak living words into our lives and said, you know what? I can do that. I'm great at that. I'm a great singer to the Lord. Amen? I'm a great person with finances. I'm a great, you know, you fill in the blank. I'm, you know, instead of all those bad things that we've been telling ourselves that I'm not good at, you know, we need to begin to say, yes, I am, because I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I'm going to begin to speak those things out of my life. Amen? Such hope, look at verse 5, never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for in behalf of the ungodly. Amen? Think it not strange. Say it again. It's practical, but it's powerful. Last scripture, you can stand to your feet. The A part of 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16, 9, the A part of the verse, out of the Amplified, says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him." You realize God's looking at you and I to be a place for him to show the whole earth that he is strong on our behalf. And even while in our weakness and in our powerless state sometimes, Sister April, God can still show up on the scene. And he'll become powerful in our life. Amen? Why? Because all he's looking for is a vessel. Amen? He's looking for a vessel. There's a story, and I'll end with this. Two pots. Y'all may have heard this before. Two watering pots. One was beautiful. No spot or blemish on it. The other pot had a crack in it, and it leaked water. And the man that owned the two pots would go to the river every day. And he would get water in those pots and put them on a pole on his neck and walk back, you know, to his house. And it was a couple of miles down to the river where he was getting water to drink. And he would go down there and he'd fill those pots to the brim. And the good pot with no spot or blemish was always very proud, saying, "Look what I'm doing for my master. I'm always carrying this water back, and I'm feeding his family, and I'm giving them drink and everything." But the pot that had the crack in it would always be disappointed in itself, because by the time it got back to the house, most of the water had leaked out because it was blemished. It had a crack in it. And every day they'd go to that river and get that water, and that crack pot would say, "Today I'm going to hold it together. I'm going to try to hold it together just so I can get some water back, because I want to be as good as my other pot over here, my other friend, this other person." And every day he failed. Every day. So one day, finally, the pot just began, as they was coming back from the river with water, the crack pot looked at his master and said, "Master," he said, "I just want to apologize to you." He's like, "For what?" He said, "Every day you come down here to get water, and because I've got this flaw in this pot, this crack in my body, I'm not able to produce and give to you what I desire to give to you, because I leak all the water out, most of it, before we get back to the house." And the master said, "Well, let me show you something." So they began to walk back. As they was walking that 2-mile trek, he said, "You see the left side of the road over here?" He's like, "Yeah." He said, "What are you seeing?" "So I see dirt and rocks." And he said, "Well, look at the right side over here. What do you see over here?" And he said, "There's all kind of beautiful flowers and orchids and plants. And there's fruit trees and all that." He said, "Yeah." He said, "What I done," he said, "because there's a place for you in my life." Somebody needs to hear that. "I took seeds and I began to sow them on this side because I knew your flaw and I knew your spot and I knew your blemish. And so I planted seeds along this side of the roadway, so when we come back every day, you were watering those plants and you were producing something from your blemish and your spot." How many know the things that we go through, church? Hear that. The things that we go through, sometimes we think, you know, "Well, I can't do this because I'm flawed, or I can't do nothing for God great because I've got this bad thing going on in my life." I understand that God is the creator of the vessel. And all he wants is a willing vessel. How many know that vessel was willing to do whatever he wanted for the master? He thought he wasn't being perfect enough or good enough, but the master, you know, in knowing what that vessel was and how he created him, used his infirmity anyway. He took that weakness, come on somebody, and caused himself to be shown strong in that weak vessel. How many know God to do that? Think it not strange.